Okay, get this. We're going deep on a real estate story. One that'll make you wonder about those property lines. Imagine you think you own your place, got the deed and all, but then it hits you the land. It might belong to someone else.
And it's crazy how often this kind of thing happens. Like, we're looking at this case, Kunto versus Howard, and a bunch of folks owning property on Hood Canal in Washington State, they all ended up in this situation.
Picture it waterfront, beautiful, right? But there's this surveying error way back in the 1930s, and their deeds, they all describe the lot next to the one their houses are actually on. This mistake just got passed down sale after sale for like decades.
Yeah, the thing is, it started as this simple boundary thing, but it blew up into a massive property fight, and the court had to get into all this stuff about like adverse possession, tacking.
Okay, so let's talk about the Tuntos. They're at the center of this whole real estate mess. They bought their spot in 59, like less than a year before this lawsuit comes knocking. They were all excited about their waterfront dream, no clue about this hidden problem in their deed.
And then you've got their neighbors, the Howards. They're the ones who sort of accidentally kick off this whole chain reaction. They're thinking of selling a part of their land, so naturally they get a survey. That's when they stumble on this decades-old mistake. Talk about a surprise.
So picture this. The Howards, they've got this survey, and they realize on paper they own the very land where the Kunto's house is sitting. Bam! The Kunto's are looking at maybe losing their home because of some error they didn't even make.
Classic case of right place, wrong deed. Makes you wonder what it really means to own a piece of property,
Right.
right?
You know, at this point, someone might be thinking, hold on. If the Kunto's have been living there a while, can't they just say it's theirs? Like, isn't there that adverse possession thing? And oh, that's where things get interesting.
Yeah, adverse possession. It's this legal idea that says even if you don't have the actual title, you can still claim land if you've been living there openly and continuously for a certain time. In Washington, it's 10 years.
10 years. Okay. Seems simple enough. But here's the thing, the Kuntos bought in 59. Lawsuits in 60. They're short of that 10 years.
Exactly. That's why this case gets hung up on tacking. So the question is, can the Kuntos combine their time on the property with the time their predecessors were there? Can they reach that 10 years by adding it all up?
Hold on, there's another twist. These were waterfront properties, right? Vacation homes, mainly used during the summer.
Yep, that throws in a whole other wrench. Does living in a place only part of the year count as continuous possession to claim it? That's a big question the court had to deal with.
So we've got property lines all mixed up, deeds that don't match the houses, and this tapping idea that could make or break the Kunto's case. Makes your head spin, doesn't it?
Totally. What's so cool about this case is it throws legal ideas right into these real-life situations. Like, what happens when the lines on a map don't match up with who's been living where?
And it's not just some technical stuff. This is the Kunto's home, and they might lose it because of some old error that's not their fault at all.
It really makes you think about fairness, where the law draws the line, and what it means to actually have property rights. This is just the beginning. Things are going to get even more interesting. Stay with us.
All right, so we're back. And the court, in this Kunto versus Howard case, they're looking at this legal puzzle with some pretty big consequences. The first thing they got to figure out is, do those summers the Kunto spent at the house, does that count as continuous possession?
Yeah, because it's not like they were living there year-round, right? It was a
Yes.
vacation home, mostly for those summer months. Does that really fit the whole uninterrupted thing for adverse possession? It's kind of tricky.
It is. And the court, you know, they ended up saying yes. They figured for these types of properties, like summer homes, using them during the summer, plus all the stuff they did to the land, that was enough to show they were possessing it continuously. It wouldn't make sense to say someone has to live in a summer home all year just to prove a point, right?
Yay.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So they got past that part. But what about that whole tacking thing? Can the Kuntos really like add their time on the property to the time all those other owners were there to get to that 10 years? It feels like a loophole almost.
Well, that's where it gets even more complicated. See, tacking brings in another legal term, privity. Usually, privity comes from having a deed that correctly describes the land you're on. But here's the kicker. None of the deeds, not a single one in all those years, actually described the right piece of land.
Wait, so every single owner had the wrong deed? How's that even possible? It's like that game, telephone, you know, where the message gets all messed up by the end.
Exactly. It shows how these simple boundary things can get super messy. But back to privity, since none of those deeds were right, The court had to decide if there was still some kind of valid connection between all those different owners.
So were they basically saying there needs to be some flexibility with privity, especially when it's clear all those owners are connected, even if the deeds don't show it perfectly?
Exactly. They dug into why that privity rule even exists. It was to stop random people, like squatters, from claiming land just because they hung around long enough.
Oh, so it's like one squatter lives there for a while, then another one comes in, and so on. They can't just add up their time to say they own it, right?
Right. But the court, in this case, they saw the Kuntos were different. They weren't squatters. They were homeowners who bought their places thinking everything was legit. They were all fooled by that same mistake in the survey.
Okay, so the court's trying to be fair here, looking at the whole situation. So what happened with tacking? Did the Kuntos get to use it?
They did. The court said yes, they could tack their time onto the previous owner's time, and that's how they were able to claim the land through adverse possession.
Wow. So even though the deed was wrong, they got to keep their home because of tacking and because the court was willing to be a bit flexible about privity. That's pretty big.
It is. It's a pretty landmark decision, actually. It shows that courts will look beyond just the words of the law and think about what really happened, especially in cases like this where you've got these old errors causing so much trouble.
It makes you wonder about all those property lines out there, right?
Oh.
How many people have actually gone and double-checked everything to make sure their land is really theirs?
Probably not that many. But cases like this show why it's important to really know what you're buying and be aware of these little historical things that can pop up.
And it also makes you think about fairness, right? If someone's been living on a piece of land, taking care of it, thinking it's theirs, shouldn't that count for something? Even if there's some technical mistake in the paperwork.
Definitely something to think about. This case gets to the heart of that balance, protecting property owners, but also recognizing that people have been living their lives on this land.
So many twists and turns in this story. What are some of the big takeaways here? I mean, most people aren't dealing with waterfront properties and surveys from 100 years ago.
Yeah, it does make you think, how many other properties are out there with these kind of hidden boundary problems? It's a reminder that those lines on a map, they're not always as simple as we think.
That's for sure. And, you know, most of us probably won't have a situation as dramatic as the Kuntos, but this case, it shows just how important it is to understand property rights and all the things that can go wrong, even with something like a deed, which seems pretty straightforward.
Exactly. So besides making us all paranoid about our property lines, what are the big lessons from Kunto versus Howard? I mean, what can regular folks like homeowners and anyone interested in property learn from all this?
Well, first off, it shows how important those boundaries are. And accurate surveys. You know, you don't always need a full survey when you buy or sell, but it's something to think about, especially if those boundaries aren't clear or if there's a history of messed up surveys in the area. So a little bit of homework goes a long way, huh? Especially with something as big as owning a property.
Definitely. And beyond just the practical stuff, this Kuntos versus Howard case, it gives us a peek into how legal thinking is changing. Courts are willing to adapt, to apply those legal rules to real life situations, even when things are complicated.
It's like the law is trying to keep up with real life, which doesn't always fit neatly into those legal boxes.
Right. And here, the court deciding to allow tacking and being more flexible with privity, it shows they're trying to be fair and practical. They saw what happened to those homeowners.
It also makes you think about those bigger questions about property rights. Like, how do we make sure ownership is clear, but also acknowledge when someone's been living on land for a long time? And what about those human errors that happen?
Tough questions, no easy answers. But cases like this, they start those important conversations. They make us think about property law and how it affects everyday people.
This whole deep dive has been eye-opening, that's for sure. We've got this legal battle, all these complex legal ideas, and hopefully we understand those property lines a little better. And, you know, our relationships with our neighbors.
Maybe some folks are even going to go dust off their old deeds and double-check those lines, just in case.
Not a bad idea. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into boundary disputes, adverse possession, and all the unexpected things that come with owning property. Until next time, keep those property lines straight and stay curious.